Hey, good morning, everybody. Who's ready to start the fall semester of base camp here? Woo! Yeah. Hey. All right, let's give ourselves a hand. Very excited to be studying the book of Titus this semester. I've made it a personal goal, and I'd recommend it to everyone else. If you get a chance, read Titus every week before coming here. It's one chapter. So if you can do one chapter, you can get through Titus every single week. And, of course, we have a wonderful study guide or book that we're using this semester to help us go through the book of Titus. But there's a lot in it, and it's packed in it. And I'll tell you, when I read that chapter, I'm like, oh, wow. Who's qualified? It's not me. But as I read that, I'm just wondering that question to myself. But I just wanted to tell you, there's been a lot going on this summer. I'm glad we're back. I'm excited for the things that are coming. We have a golf tournament coming up on Friday. If you haven't signed up, Dave Shugart, who's leading that, he said you have till the end of today, even though he closed signups. If you get a hold of him and you want to golf on Friday, he'll sign you up. So keep that in mind that you can still do that, and he'll get you squared away. Guys know our first breakfast is going to be coming up. I'm sorry, I got my slides here. Let me get back to my slides. Oh, yeah, two-minute drill. Sorry. It's been a while. A little rusty. All right, two-minute drill, guys. I want to tell you, too, we have one of the old sheets from last semester on there, but I added a date column for today, 2 September, all the way on the right. If you guys can use that as your new thing, update your table, who's there. Try to get rid of, take guys' names off that have been gone for 2-3 years, if you can, and try to figure out who's going to be a table leader at your group and mark that on there so we know. Table leader responsibilities are basically you send a text message to your guys and say, hey, getting excited for base camp next Tuesday. Hope you see you there. Or any other reminders if you want to get together outside of base camp. So that's, and then you help keep with the scores and stuff like that. And if you're gone, somebody else can pick up the score sheet and everything like that. So it's not some huge responsibility, but if you're looking for a place to serve, it's a good place to start. I'll be a table leader at base camp. So that's some of the logistics. We need a table leader, and we need a good list of who's at your table so we can get those updated for next week. All right, what we also do is a two-minute drill, which is a little trivia for you guys. And you'll see there's a score sheet on your table as well, and you guys can talk amongst yourself and answer these two questions. And we tally up how many people have come throughout the semester and how often you were there, those points, with the score sheet on trivia, and then at the end, we have a little a gift for the groups that do the best, for the first, second, and third place. So it's just a fun little competition that we do here to try to motivate you to come in and stay involved with your group. There's points also for meeting outside of the table as well. So let's go to the two-minute drill now. There we go. Okay. If septum means seven in Latin, why is September the ninth month? A, original calendar 10 months long. B, Romans were superstitious about the number nine. C, Rome's fall harvest festival was known as the Festival of Sevens. And D, Hercules accomplished his seventh of 12 labors at the close of summer. Take about 5 seconds to mull that over. Man, it's really good to see everybody here this morning. Okay, going on to the second one now, guys. All right, second question. Why are the dog days of summer called such? A, they are hot like a dog's breath. B, historically more dogs die of heat exhaustion during these days. C, the star Sirius becomes visible with the sunrise again. And D, named for President Teddy Roosevelt's dog, Skip, whom the president adopted after being saved from something or other. I'm sorry. If I was a little taller. Saved by it during a bear hunt. Wow. Okay. So think about that one for a couple seconds. I wanted to commend you guys for even being here. One, it's 6 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday after a holiday weekend. So thank you for coming in. And two, it's important to see that you value learning about the Bible, learning about more about Jesus and growing in your faith. And that's a priority in your life. So consider yourself among the like maybe 10, 15, 20% of guys in the church that are really, really growing in their faith and trying to figure things out. You know, there's a lot of guys at the church, and, you know, we got to get more guys involved in Bible studies to come and fellowship. This is your support group. Your tables are your guys when something's going wrong in your life that you lean into and say, guys, I need prayer. Guys, I need some help this weekend moving. I know that one's always tough. That's going to be a small group because that is not a church function, just so you know. So you got to have a band of brothers around to help you when you're falling. This has been a really tough year for me. I'll just share with you a guy I was mentoring for 3 years who went here to BCC. He died. He was 54 years old. His wife had kicked him out, 4 kids. He'd been living on his own, living with a bunch of different guys, had a hard time several years just trying to get his life together. And if any of you guys know Art Merkel, he went home to be the Lord with the Lord. He did pray to receive Jesus while I knew him, and he did get baptized in this when this was the old sanctuary. But he's a friend. He's here today, and he's gone tomorrow. He's 54. And then another friend, Anthony Galassi, who I would see every Wednesday at Anita's at a Bible study. Many of you guys know him and are also at that Bible study. He recently passed away just all of a sudden. And cancer, like within 2 weeks, he was gone. And this guy was strong. Man, I saw this guy, and I was always hitting his arm. I was like, dude, you're a tank. What are you doing? When I hit 70, I want to be just like you. And all of a sudden, he's not at our Bible study anymore, and Marianne's a widow. So, guys, life is a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. We have brothers who have experienced loss of a wife this summer. George Lair lost his precious wife, Leslie. Jake Foray lost his wife, Randina. Guys, there are guys in this church that need other guys to come around them, to surround them, to pray for them, and to hold them up, to hold their arms up when they just can't hold their arms up anymore. So I just wanted to share that with you, the importance of just being part of the body. And a good start to that is being with the men and having a group of men that you know you can count on. Middle of the night, you need to call somebody, or you're struggling with some addiction, or if you don't have a support group, an accountability partner, you're lost. You're isolated. You have no one to reach out to. And that's when sin creeps in so hard. I know that's when it gets me. So I might be worse off than a lot of you guys, but that's when sin can get a foothold, when we are not grounded and surrounded by men. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's why we do men's ministry. That's why you're here today. And I want the very best for all of you guys. And I want you growing in your faith. And I want all of us to grow together closer to Jesus. Because if we have more of him in our heart and less of us, he makes us somebody that we never imagined we could be. So I wanted to cover a couple items that are coming up. The men's retreat. If you've never been to a men's retreat, please sign up. It's already halfway full. There's 150 seats this year. And over 75 of them are gone. I think we're close to 80 now. So please get signed up. Want to see some new faces at the retreats. It's great seeing some of the old guys too. And I know that there's some guys that want to go every year, but we got to get the word out to some of the new guys. So if you're an old guy and you really want to go, invite a brand new guy that you just met and bring them with you, because they need to come to these retreats. Our very own Pastor Jim Powell over here will be our guest speaker. Thanks, Pastor Jim, for being here too. And if you haven't heard Pastor Jim, I think you've seen him up on stage a lot and heard him preach as well just a couple weeks ago about discipleship. So sign up for that. Men's breakfast is coming up, and we have our very own Bible study Sunday school teacher, Stephen Mosley, who's going to talk to us about faith and cultural issues. This is going to be a very powerful talk, because as we go out into the workplace and we see that sometimes we might be targeted because of our faith. I just had coffee with a brother yesterday who, back in 2020, his company all of a sudden started doing this whole DEI thing and said, we don't have any women in leadership. We don't have the right look. And Jerry Kim lost his job, because he wanted to stand for his faith, and he didn't want to. And so several Christians in his organization were let go because they were not drinking the whole Kool-Aid of everything that this new CEO wanted. And that's happening, and that's just one contract company. I'm sure that happened all throughout. And so sometimes there's suffering for our faith, and guys were, you know, are struggling and going through it. So we need each other is the bottom line. So please come hear Stephen speak. He is a wonderful speaker. I've sat through some of his classes, and he's a powerful guy. So, and then last but not least, if you're looking, I know, and sometimes we can wait and hold off and say, oh, I'll serve one day, you know, I'll start giving one day, I'll get closer to Jesus one day, and then you don't know if you have tomorrow left. So I found that whenever I serve, I just feel motivated afterwards. I never leave serving and say, oh, that was a waste of time. So I'll tell you right now, Pastor Matt Sims came up to me just this week, and he said, look, we have several 7th and 8th grade boys who don't have a dad at home. I could really use some, like, father figures to meet with them once a week and just kind of pour into them, like kind of like big brothers is what it sounded like he was trying to do. And then Pastor Matt Rampey came up to me this week, and he said, I really need some men to help out on Thursday nights in the well. I think it's the well, yeah. And he said, so if you could just put the word out. So guys, I'll tell you, there's nothing more manly that I've seen at this church than walking by a kindergarten class and seeing Scotty Davis teaching in there, these kids, and just seeing how much they love seeing a man in there. And I know we have lots of women that are teaching the kids, but I'll tell you that they need us too. So please, just that's a few. There's so many places you can plug in and serve. Go on a mission trip. Sign up for a mission trip to South Africa. They had sign-ups this past week. I got to go there last year. It was a blast. And they're looking for some builders, though. So if any of you guys have some construction background, that's who Dan Williams is looking to try to get some guys on this trip, because they got some building projects they really have to do. With that, I want to welcome up Jack Law and just pray for him real quick. And really excited about this this book here. I have read it, the whole thing, and man, it was just motivated, chapter after chapter. So come on up. Yeah. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my brother Jack. Thank you for his willingness to teach. Thank you for his leadership of Base Camp for so many years. And I just pray that you would bless him and let your word speak through him. And just let him be a walking epistle to be read by men, as one of our brothers says sometimes. And I just ask you to bless his talk today, and may it touch all these guys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Test. Come on. Thanks, Scott. All right. Scott told me I had until 6:15 to talk this morning. So how am I doing? I got some time? Yeah. So it's always good to be up here. Good to see everybody. I checked a minute ago. I think we had about 20 guys on Zoom also. So God bless you, brothers, for being here this morning as well. I was going to save this for the end of my talk, but since he put this up here, I want to go back a couple of slides. Are the back slides, the serving slide that Scott had, is that still available, or are we on to a new deck? That one. So I was going to talk a little bit about football this morning, because it's football season, right? And if you're over Arch Madness, you may be looking for some other things to be happy about. Arch Manning, for those of you keeping score, now has twice as many commercials as touchdown passes. Sorry, KC, I know you're mourning out there somewhere. My team won. So I was going to close with sort of a football quote, but when Scott put this up, I decided I'm going to move it up front. There's a pastor in Jacksonville, Florida named Joby Martin. Some of you may know him. I love listening to his podcasts online. He's real powerful. He's real out there. He doesn't mind offending anybody. And he also is a football coach. And I was listening to his podcast this weekend while I was mowing the lawn. And he talked about being in the gym with a lot of his players. And like, they're over by the curl, the dumbbells, and they're getting their Instagram shots, doing curls. And he says, you know, the way to win football games is in the weight room, not on the field. And the way to win it in the weight room is not with curls. It's with power cleans and deadlifts, which is evidently some kind of weightlifting term. You can see I'm not a weightlifter or a football player. And so he blows his whistle. He gets everybody's attention in the weight room. And he says, everybody wants to be strong. Nobody wants to be sore. And so when I see this slide, and I see, you know, we're here at men's group. We go to the barbecues. We're going to church. We definitely want to be strong. Do we want to be sore? Do we want to do the work that God has put before us? So, yes, that's a challenge. Everybody wants to be strong. Nobody wants to be sore. So think about it. If you have some space in your life, please consider a volunteer opportunity, how you can serve at church, how you can serve the little C church here, how you can serve the big C church in your community. It's what we do out of an overflow of gratitude for what God has done in our lives. Editorial mode over. So on the way to church this morning to start the football analogy, I was wondering, what do I talk about? I wanted to bring up something about football, and bang, on everybody's favorite radio station, National Proletariat Radio, they were talking about the Dallas Cowboys, that is America's team, obviously, and who you may or may not know that I think they found themselves in possession of a little extra cash these days because they decided to get rid of the most exciting player in professional football, Micah Parsons, and send him to the, I can't say it. At least they didn't go to the Eagles. So what happened is they gave the cheerleaders a raise. This is not made up. This actually I heard on the, they, in a move which is being hailed as a great step towards parity among the sexes in professional sports, they gave the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders a 5x raise. They are now going from $15 an hour to $75 an hour, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. That ought to make it about even, right? Y'all know what Dak Prescott makes per hour? $30,000 an hour. Now, I didn't do that based on the fact that he only plays for 3 hours a week. That's like if he's a full-time, 40-hour-a-week employee at his annual salary, $30,000 an hour. So way to go, cheerleaders. Parity coming. All right, what did I do on my summer vacation? This is what I did. Since we last met, Shep has grown up a little bit. He now attacks all things with a motor or a wheel. He wants to be on top of it and sounding like it. And then two lovely little girls, Scotty and Lily, were born to Carter and Abigail in June. And Rebecca and I were blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with them this summer. I had a lot to do with that. I had a lot to do with that. People ask me, how do you tell them apart? I mean, it makes sense, but I didn't predict that as a grandfather or twins. Can you tell them apart? And I say, well, yeah, the one says Scotty and one says Lily. They're easy to tell apart. If they're both there, I'm about 60% getting them right. One of them, less. But they're doing great. I know many of you prayed for them when they were born. Lily was a very difficult breech birth. There was drama for her. There was drama for Abigail. God is so, so good. And we're just so happy that they are being raised in a household that loves the Lord. So that's what I did this summer. What are we going to do this fall? Go. This is what we're going to do this fall, the Titus 10. This is a book by J. Josh Smith. You can order it on Amazon, and I just found out. So, Scott, I'm not making this up. Where did Scott Corrigan go? I did just learn from Jim. The Nook is ordering some copies of this book. So there will be some copies available in the Nook. There will be every copy in the world available on Amazon. It's like $8. So keep an eye out for it. It is, I tell this to the teachers And I'm telling them again right now, those who are listening, this is a resource for their preparation. We are not, you know, don't, if you buy this, if you buy the study guide as well, don't expect that it's going to be a line for line review every Tuesday morning, right? I want the teachers to come in and put themselves up here. Great job, J. Josh Smith. Decent job, Paul, writing a letter to Titus. Yeah. But I want you to hear their stories. I want you to hear what it means to me when I talk about character. I want you to hear from George Lair. I want you to hear from Jay Santiago. I want you to hear from men of faith who are among you, right? So I think the book is a great resource. I think it's a great read, and I encourage you to get it. But just don't expect that it's going to be word for word. Okay. Who is Titus, right? So Titus is not one of these characters in the Bible that we know a lot about. If someone says, oh, what Bible character do you want to be like? It's not a lot of people, oh, I want to be Titus. We don't know a ton about him, but we know a few things that are important and they're relevant to what we do here, right? I don't know why I keep pushing this. Sorry, Dave. Titus, a faithful follower of Jesus. This is clear in several instances where Paul mentions Titus is his faith. He walks alongside. You know, we often talk about, oh, you need in your life, you need a Paul, you need a Barnabas, you need a Timothy, right? And we don't really always say you need a Titus. You need a Paul, your mentor, Barnabas who walks alongside you, Timothy, someone you mentor, and you should have these men in your lives. Titus is kind of in that Barnabas role. He's walking with Paul. He is super trusted by Paul to carry the message of the gospel. He's a courageous servant. So Paul trusts him to do two very hard things. He leaves him in Crete for job one. I almost got left in Crete, USS John Hancock, 1991. Was not pleasant to almost be left in Crete. And the second thing, and he leaves him in Crete to shepherd a church. The second thing Paul did is he had Titus deliver the letter we call the book 2 Corinthians to the church at Corinth. Well, why was that a courageous thing to do? Because it basically says, hey, you guys are blowing it. Hey, I got this letter for you, Jim, from Paul. Yeah. and hands him the letter that says, you guys need to get your act together. You're really blowing it. So courageous. And he's a beloved friend, as we talked about. He talks about Titus when he arrives. I can't remember now where Paul arrives somewhere. Titus isn't there. He's worried. He's in anguish until he sees his friend Titus again. And this reminds me of Proverbs 18:24 and something that Scott mentioned earlier. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Gentlemen, hear nothing else from me today, but hear this. You need these men in your lives. You need these men, whether they're the men at this table, whether there's someone else who's close to you, whether it's an actual blood brother who you are so close to, you must have these men in your lives. Because if you do not have if you do not have reliable friends, you'll come to ruin. You need someone to pour into, someone who pours into you, someone who gets you, someone who's going to be there when you're in the ditch, right? I hope you're thinking of someone right now. Man, if I were in the ditch, this is who I'm calling. And you know that guy's going to be there. Paul's letter to Titus. So Paul assigned Titus to shepherd a church in Crete. I've got Crete circled there. It's pretty small on my there. So eastern half of the Mediterranean. So Crete is, you know, a cultural crossroads. You can imagine all the sea trade coming from the eastern Mediterranean going west, all the sea trade coming out of the Aegean, or all the sea trade coming out of the Tyrrhenian Sea going east. All these things, we're crossing Crete all the time. So you have lots of different cultures. You have lots of different beliefs. They were proud to be pagans. I'm really bummed that Harry Fulton's not here this morning, because I say it's just like the Naval Academy. These guys were Cretans. That's where we get the word, right? And don't take my word for it. Next. Take Epimenides, the Cretan philosopher. He's a Cretan. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. He's talking about his own bros. All right, that's real nice. So Paul quotes this quote using that time-honored truth of writing. You can always criticize someone when they're criticizing themselves. And he says, this saying is true. Titus 1:12. So he's like putting an exclamation point. Yeah, these are some messed up dudes. And so Paul left Titus there to shepherd this church. And what is guidance to Titus? The local church is central to the mission of God. You can imagine these guys are strangers in a strange land, right? Because they're going to come here. Hey, you who are so proud of being pagans, you are who so proud of, Mr. Smith writes, the people in Crete understood that Mount Olympus was the throne of the gods, right? They also believed that the gods that sat on the throne in Olympus were there because they, the Cretans, put them there. So they had a sense of themselves. And so you can imagine the local Christian church might be a little bit of a spiritual outlier to these folks. The gospel is central to everything. If you have read Paul, if you have been through our study of Galatians here at Base Camp, you understand what the gospel message means to Paul. I seek to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That's Paul's central message. Good works are central to the life of a believer. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved to good works. Yes? Can I get an amen? All right. Thank you very much. Because of His love for us, out of an abundance of God's love for God's self and God's people, He sent His Son to die on our behalf, that we would not have to suffer the payment, the just payment of our sins. Because of that, we seek to do good works for others. Again, Joby Martin said, what if they gave the national championship trophy, in his case, he says, to Georgia? What if they gave the trophy to the Georgia Bulldogs before game one? Said, you win. Now go out there and play like it. You win. God has saved us, again, Mr. Smith, God has saved us so that we might join with the local church to declare and display the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, want to make sure I'm emphasizing, that's not Paul writing that. That's Mr. Smith writing in his book. I think it's very good guidance. Next. All right, so the purpose of the book, the subtitle of the book, Foundations for Godly Manhood. And this is what we're going to study over the next 10 weeks, is these 10 messages from Mr. Smith on how to be a godly man. Because what he's, oh, I got that quote coming. Never mind. I won't precast it. All right, go ahead. Dominion, gospel, identity, assignments, authority, character, doctrine, mission, zeal, and investments. This is what we're going to talk about over the next 10 weeks. I believe it's Richard Dick leading us off next week with Dominion. So if you get the book, you'll be able to follow along, read ahead. The chapters are not that long. The book is not that long. I highly encourage it. What do I have next? Oh, yeah. This is another quote from Mr. Smith that I believe is a really good summary of the book and a really good summary of what we have. So the letter to Titus was not written specifically as what kind of man should you be. The letter to Titus was written to instruct, to guide Titus in the type of man he should be seeking to put in church leadership. Because Paul knew that the church is going to go the way of the leaders, right? So he says to Titus, find these type of men. Then Josh Smith, in his life as a pastor, as he would use the letter of Titus to train new pastors in his church, he realized this is what we should all be doing. This is what how we should be training our men. And that's why he wrote the book, was to convert his philosophy on training church leaders into a philosophy of making disciples for Christ. So that's kind of the bent of the book, if you will. And so he says, if godly men are leading the church, and by extension, if godly men are populating the church, then the church, family, and society will go the same direction. And I think that is a wonderful message of the gospel, is let's be Christ in our community. Let's be Christ in our family. Let's be Christ in our church, because that's infectious. And that's what we want. That's what we want to be. We want to be an infection. And maybe I need to work on that one. We want to be an inspiration. It's inspiring. All right. Next, put some discussion questions up there. So this was where I was going to put in the quote of everybody wants to be strong, but nobody wants to be sore. So I'll just kind of repeat that. Be sore for the gospel. The other thing is, we mentioned at the beginning of the Screwtape session, we had this concept called battle ready. Y'all remember battle ready? I consider this is the next round in the chamber of being battle ready, is learning these foundations of godly manhood helps you be battle ready. And again, I can't stress enough the importance of having men in your lives to come alongside. Men in your lives, even going through this study together. So hopefully a little extra time today, not much, but get together, tell each other what you did over your summer vacation. If you need some discussion, question, help, that's great. But let's reconnect. Let's be glad to be here. And then let's leave today to serve and love the Lord. Amen.